Before we get started with this week's show, just a quick announcement. Yellow Card has partnered with Away Days Football, which makes original and high-quality football-inspired clothing for the casual looking for something to wear to matches. Use the code YELLOWCARD at checkout to get 15% off your entire order at awaydaysfootball.com. And on a personal note, if you haven't tried the mystery kit yet, you should. You won't be disappointed. So go to awaydaysfootball.com, use checkout code YELLOWCARD, and get 15% off your entire order. All right, thanks for listening. And now, here's the show.
You're listening to the Southampton Delivery Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the Southampton Football Club and all of the SFC fans.
If you want to have guarantees, you have to buy a washing machine.
Okay, with a stupid header!
We don't lose a match, either we win or we learn. And today we learned.
Abdacha, Austin!
It's infield to Mane, 25 yards out. Lovely ball for Pella. Onside, 1-0. Buffon's shot! Oh my word!
Unbelievable. He ran around the pitch like Bambi on ice. It was very, very embarrassing to watch.
And now, your host, Matt Markstone.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Southampton Delivery Podcast, a podcast and newsletter dedicated to the Southampton Football Club and all of the SFC fans, and available right here on southamptondelivery.com. My name is Matt Markstone. I am the host of the show, and no matter where you are, no matter how you may be listening, whether this is your first time or you've been here before, thanks for making the show part of your day. I hope that you enjoy it, and I hope that you found something to enjoy from that Burnley match, because the football probably wasn't it. And for that matter, neither was the weather. Maybe the beer you had before or after was worth it, or the friends you saw along the way. Maybe just a conversation you had with somebody did it for you. But I have to say that's what made my Saturday, is the conversation that I had with Dan Jarvis, who you can find on Twitter at Dan Jarvis SFC 91 and on Instagram at Rather Be a Scummer Than a Skate 91. We had a conversation about the match, of course, because that's why we're here. But we also had a talk about what him and his dad, Steve, who you can find on Twitter at Steve Jarvis SFC 7, have been doing, whether it's raising money for blind veterans or animal shelters or doing the 92 or just supporting Saints. We talk about all of that on this week's episode, and it's a pleasure to be able to have Dan back. I do speak a little bit during the episode about the conversation that I had with Dan and Steve way back in the first year of the podcast, and it still stands out as one of my favorite podcast episodes that I have ever had the pleasure of recording, one of my favorite conversations that I've ever had the pleasure of doing. So I do speak about that. The link is also there in the show notes. But the more important stuff is Dan and Steve are in the middle of doing the 92. They are almost there. They're on 86 and 84 stadiums each, and they are attempting to raise some money. So the links are in the show notes to the Just Giving page, which I would encourage you to go and visit if you are interested. And also links to the two charities that will be getting the money, Blind Veterans and the Animal Shelter in Southampton. So anyway, let's get to the conversation. We didn't win at Burnley. Burnley did the double over us, but at least Danny Ings scored a goal, even though he probably could have prevented one also. So we'll talk about all that. Let's jump into it now. As always, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you on the other side. So we'd like to welcome back to the Southampton Delivery Podcast, Dan Jarvis. You can find him on Twitter at Dan Jarvis SFC 91 and on Instagram at Rather Be a Scummer Than a Skate 91. Dan, I'm sorry to bring you on the show after what we just saw, and this is only a couple of hours removed, but at least now you're dry, and we're warm inside, and we're having this conversation. So welcome back to the show, and thanks for taking the time to do this.
Yeah, no problem at all. Thanks for having me on, obviously. Yeah, shame it couldn't have been in better circumstances, but there we are. That's football.
It is what it is, right? Like, we can't control that. We can only control kind of, I guess, how we react to it, and I think I've reacted okay. I haven't yelled at anybody yet. So we'll see how the rest of the day goes. It's still early. but obviously, an early kickoff today, coming back from the winter break, and we did have the shortest winter break and all of that stuff. We've kind of covered that, but, I mean, the weather was not kind to anybody, but I guess, were you glad that we played early rather than late?
I don't mind the early kickoff too much, to be honest with you, because I mean it means by the time you get home, you know, you've still got a fair portion of the day left. You sort of relax, watch the late game, settle down with a few beers, ready for the match of the day, that kind of thing. So yeah, quite happy with the early kickoff. But yeah, the conditions were absolutely abysmal. And yeah, as the Leicester home game earlier in the season highlighted, we seem to be having some problems with dealing with those kind of conditions this season.
Yeah, well, sometimes, you know, and this is going to rub people the wrong way, but like, you know, you talk to some of the Northerners and they say that Southern people are soft, and here the weather is proving that maybe right. But I don't want to, I might have to cut that out of the show. I'm not sure that should stay in, but that's just what some people that I've talked to from the North have told me. I live in California. I'm not saying anything. I have the nicest weather of everybody, so I won't say. I won't make another mention of it.
No, I'm quite jealous. Yeah, I mean that's true. And really, obviously, Burnley from about as north as you could get. Yeah. Those conditions, you know, that's perfect Burnley football weather, isn't it? Really, to be honest with you.
It, well, it plays into the way they play as well. You know, lots of long balls, lots of stuff like that, and that's not to. No, it is taking a shot at them. That's fine. I'll leave it. I was going to say, try to be nice, but I'm not going to, because that was, it hurts to watch what happened, especially, you know, obviously the early kickoff is noon for you, 12:30 actually. And that means it's 4:30 AM for me. So about the time their goal went in, I was going to have a sip of coffee, and I almost just said, like, you know what, we'll just do this in a couple of hours and I'll just go back to bed. But I didn't. And I saw, you know, I was rewarded with about 20 minutes of good football, I think, and then the second half happened. So we'll get into all that. But before we do any of that, you had quite a morning. What time did you wind up getting down to the ground? You and your dad down there. You had something a little different going on this morning prior to the match, correct?
Yes. So it was a bit unique. We got to the we park up the train station. So we were there at, it was about 10. So a good two and a half hours before kickoff. And yeah, we met up with a guy from the Guardian newspaper who he basically interviewed us. We went around to a coffee place and he interviewed us. He's basically going to run a piece on us. It's going to feature in the paper shortly, sort of covering my dad's story, our story together, you know, kind of right from the beginning, really, from obviously my dad's love of Saints and losing his sight, right up to, you know, present time, us following Saints everyone and sort of doing all the 92 clubs as well. So yeah, hopefully that should be pretty good.
Yeah, and if people aren't kind of familiar with you and your dad, I think most listeners will be, but you basically commentate to your dad for most of the matches you guys go and see, correct?
Yeah. It happens quite frequently at home. He, because Saints quite good, they lay on audio descriptive commentary. Uh-huh. So yeah, I get a reprieve. yeah, it gives me a little break, and it's always good for the people around me as well, fellow fans that don't have to hear my whiny voice waffling on all game. But yeah, no, sort of away games through the years where quite often we'll be given this, it's hard to describe, but it's always this one radio that we get presented by the club that we're visiting. I just look at it and I think, oh no, we've got problems today, Dad. Because yeah. It's always the type of radio that fails us, and it time and time again, it will cut out or, you know, just fail, and I'll have to jump in and do it. It's a pleasure that I enjoy doing it. So yeah, I don't know why I'm saying it in a moany tone. Yeah, it's fun. I'm glad I'm able to do it. So, but yeah, no, I've certainly done that and had some odd looks from, you know, onlookers over the years, thinking, why is he, you know, why is he describing the game?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it is at this point, you know, you've done it for a really long time, and I imagine the piece and I think what we talked about the first time you guys were on, and there's now something that's there that you guys have this kind of bond where, you know, you show up to matches together, you have this kind of thing where each and every time it's this special kind of thing, because it's you two and Saints together. And I think, I don't know, I look fondly I look back on our first conversation that we had. And I still, that's one of my most favorite episodes that I've ever recorded. And I'm not just saying that cause I'm talking to you now. I'm saying in truth, like that is one of the my most favorite things that I've heard, and the best stories that come, you know, this is a podcast about football, but the best stories are about the fans, and you two always stand out to me. So it's really nice to be able to talk to you again, and it's nice that somebody else is going to get to kind of hear the story and maybe share a little bit about what you and your dad do. So yeah, I'm stoked on that. But I was going to ask you, not to jump in, but yeah, I was going to ask you, how close to the 92 are you now? Because I know you guys try to get away as often as possible, but how close are you guys getting?
Yes. So we're pretty close now, actually. Closer than I think we thought we'd ever get. So I'm on 86. And I mean, currently, I don't quite know, because I mean, it's probably, I mean, me and Dad were talking about this earlier, thinking that, I mean, realistically, it's probably going to be by the end of the calendar year that we'll have done it. That's the target. Okay. Because I've always said that I wanted to do it before I'm 30, which is next January.
So you got to do it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've got all the incentive. I'm on 86. Dad is 84. Because he missed, this is going like 10 years ago when we were in League One, he missed a couple of games, League One Championship, when I went and watched Saints on my own. And so I'm trying to get him back level with me. So last weekend, for example, we went to Colchester. I did that way back with Saints. Dad didn't, so we got that in. And he's also got to do Barnsley and Oldham, which I've already done. Okay. So those two to get him on par with me. And then, yeah, obviously, at the moment, I don't quite know how they're going to do it, because obviously with the demise of Berry, it's currently standing at 91.
Sure.
But, yeah, I don't know with sort of the pyramid in this country whether they're going to try and, you know, rejig it so it is 92 again next season, or how they're going to play it, to be honest. They might have to change the hashtag to 91.
Yeah, well, I want to say I heard something. I could be wrong, that only – maybe one less team will go down.
Oh, that makes sense.
But yeah, I could be wrong, because that's I think I heard that on Football Weekly, I think. But that also could have been somebody just saying that. So take that with a grain of salt. But I'm guessing you didn't get up to see them prior to them kind of going under then.
No, sadly not. No, it's a shame. I would have liked to have gone there as well. It's I'm just, you know, I'd love to see them sort of almost like be reborn as a Phoenix club, which happens sometimes, because it's just terrible to think that, you know, the fans up there that have supported that club for so many years have now got nobody follow. It should never happen, not with the amount of money in the game this day and age.
Absolutely. And I'm guessing that a lot of the places you have to see are not, I mean, you don't have a lot to see, but I imagine they're the ones, you know, reaching pretty far north then, just because they're harder to get to, or are they kind of spread around the country a little bit?
No, you're absolutely spot on. No disrespect to anyone listening from these areas, but they even sound pretty depressing, to be fair. They're a long way up. For example, off the top of my head, I can think of Scunthorpe, Grimsby, Morecambe, Fleetwood, I think. What's the other one I'm missing? But that's a number of them. That's nearly all of them. A bit of a way up. Trying to play it safe, because I mean, we've been thinking about Morecambe, but then looking at the table, they're looking like they might actually go out of the Football League.
Okay.
So I'm sort of thinking maybe dodge that one for now, because they might go, and then, you know, see
closer.
Yeah, exactly. You never know, but probably won't work that way. We'll probably have to trek for miles.
Yeah, well, maybe you can get it where one of them's going to play on Saturday, one's going to play on Sunday, and they're at least, you know, somewhat near each other. You can knock it out in a weekend, maybe, but that maybe doesn't work either, because it depends on when Saints play and everything else. So
exactly, that's the problem. That would be perfect. Like, take Grimsby and Scunthorpe, for example. They're literally like half an hour apart. So that you know, it would be pretty frustrating to have to drive back to that exact same spot twice.
Yeah.
For what could probably be nil-nils, you never know. That's sort of how football seems to happen in funny ways sometimes.
Yeah. And going along with this, and then the article, you set up a Just Giving page to help kind of raise some money for a couple of a couple of places, and one of them is Blind Veterans, and you just want to fill us in on kind of what that is and where people can go if they're and we'll put the link in the show notes, but what people can donate to if they're interested.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so I just sort of as we're obviously reaching the end of our goal, about a week or two ago, I just thought, you know, it'd be nice to obviously we're getting a lot out of it personally, but it'd be nice to sort of support a couple of organizations that have done a lot for my dad, really, and therefore they obviously mean a lot to me. So yeah, particularly Blind Veterans have been fantastic. They look after ex-military, because my dad was in the army, those military that are affected by sight loss. So just an incredible organisation. Their centre down in Brighton, Dad's visited quite a lot. They've helped him in so many ways, sort of living skills. They've taken him on a trip over to Italy skiing. They've taken him cycling at the Velodrome in London. Just so, you know, so many things they've gone above and beyond and really sort of given him, you know, some great memories and a real sort of sense of independence, really, and being. So, yeah, that's the first one. And then the rest of the proceeds are going to go to the Blue Cross Animal Shelter. They set us up last year. We've always had dogs. They've always been great for Dad, sort of in terms of getting out of the house. Again, another aspect of freedom, if you will. And they hooked us up with a little French bulldog last year. And yeah, she's been fantastic, just the right fit for him. So yeah, I'd like to, you know, sort of recognise that and help them in any way that I can as well. So yeah, I've contacted all the 92 football clubs. The majority have been fantastic. I'm in literally in my room now. I've got shirts looking at me from Mansfield, Rochdale, and Nottingham Forest, all fully signed that I'm going to auction off. I've got items coming from other clubs: Man City, Liverpool, West Brom, Cardiff, Luton. They'll also all be auctioned off, and all proceeds going to the charities. And then, yeah, as you said, I also set up a Just Giving page just to try and maximize the fundraising effort, really.
Sure, sure. Well, I think that's awesome because it's, as you said, what you guys are getting out of it, the chance to see kind of all that stuff, the chance to see the country kind of multiple times and spend that time together and kind of tackle this. But there's also been a lot of other things that go into your dad's life that after losing his sight that, that have meant a lot to him. And to be able to give back and hopefully, you know, pass it on to somebody else, I think it's very good of you. I don't know how else to say it. Like, it's just, it's probably what should be done by more people more often. And sometimes it's easy just to get caught up in, you know, I'm doing this and I'm doing the 92 and this is great. And now it's, hopefully you're going to give somebody else a chance to do something that they really want to do. So I'm all for that. So links to all those things are in the show notes for people to go view and give and whatever, and people can check out the auction and stuff like that when they happen. So I think that's awesome. So your morning then was a little bit weird leading up to the match. We were talking earlier, they made you kind of strike a pose in front of a couple of things as people were getting into the match, but I'm glad you and Dad made it all right.
Thank you. It was a great experience. They were lovely people, as you touched upon there. It was so after we did the interview, which lasted about an hour, we walked up to the ground and we sort of crossing over the railway bridge that leads sort of towards the northern stand. We met up with like the Guardian's official photographer, and she wanted to do some shots of us. And as I said, it was, you know, leading up to kickoff, I don't know, maybe it was nearing midday, and she took so many photos. She was lovely. But yeah, it was quite, quite mortifying, but there was thousands of Saints fans, and me and Dad were being asked to pose and do all these, you know, do these weird things. I just thought they must think we look like absolute, you know, what.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I just let me get inside and get a beer now. I am stressed.
Yeah, absolutely. But
no, it's hopefully out of all of the thousands, it felt like that she took, hopefully one's going to be good enough, or maybe she'll have to pixelate Dad. Don't tell him that.
well, hopefully he listens to this, you know.
yeah, he probably will now.
We'll see, yeah. Well, you don't have to encourage it, but he finds it on his own. That's different.
Exactly. That's just bad luck.
I did want to say one thing before we jumped in. Yesterday, we're recording on Saturday, just a couple hours after the match. Friday being Valentine's Day, your dad had a little bit of a mix up with the Valentine's Day card. Did I see that correctly?
You did. Yeah. That's still cracking me up. Just brilliant, classic Dad. So it stood proudly on our mantelpiece in the living room as we speak. So my mum's sister helped him sort of with getting the cards for her. It was obviously be pretty difficult for him, so it's mum's birthday coming up in March, and she thought, you know, two birds, one stone. Yeah. I'll get both at the same time. So Dad, rather than asking me to help him, get the right one. Thought he'd wing it. Did so, and Mum now has a birthday card downstairs, and she'll be getting a Valentine's Day card for her 60th. So, yeah, classic Steve Jarvis, basically.
Oh, man. Well, it was well-meaning, you know? I think it made me laugh when I saw it yesterday. So
that's all that matters. That'll mean a lot to him as well. He likes to make people laugh. So as long as he's been able to do that out of the rigmarole, he'll be pretty chuffed.
Yeah, absolutely. So I hope you actually got into the match in time to get a beer and everything before kickoff. But at what point did you see the lineup for today, and were you at all surprised by what you saw when you did see it?
So it was quite late, actually. It was sort of, I realized that, time was ticking away and we were still hosing away, and I was thinking, I don't even know the lineups yet. So in between, whilst she was, going through all the millions of shots, I was like, quickly got my phone out and read it to Dad. Obviously it surprised me somewhat. Didn't realize it was obviously the big omission, couple of big omissions actually, with, Bednarek at the back, who I think I'm a big fan of his, and he's a really underrated centre back, not really widely spoken about, amongst Premier League fans. But I think you certainly notice when he's not there, which pretty much says everything. Then obviously the creativity of Redmond due to his injury as well, which was a concern. I was happy to see the recent addition Walker Peters get included. But then, with the injuries, I guess really you can sort of see with the moves he made and why he did. It was obviously a bit concerning when I saw the glaring omissions.
Yeah. Initially, as soon as I saw Redmond was out, it took a second just to figure out and find out it was an injury yesterday during training, which is always, that's not what you want. It seems like, and especially going into this run of the season where now it's just going to be one game a week, but you want Redmond, who's been pretty consistent in the lineup each and every week. And, to not have him I think it hurts a little bit. And then to have Vestergaard in, that to me was the biggest shock of it all. Is I read somewhere that it was potentially because he thought Vestergaard was better on the ball than Bednarek. And I knew we were going to have a lot of it today, but I always just think that Vestergaard is maybe just a little bit too slow, even on the ball. He can pass, but I don't know. I was a little that's the one that I think that shocked me the most. Once you figure out that the Redmond one was an injury,
I completely agree with that. I mean, I think the running joke is that Vestergaard has the turning circle of the Titanic.
Yeah.
I was. Harking, when I found out the news, I was harking back to the opening game of the season at Burnley. I thought a lot of the reason why we fell apart out there was, don't like to single players out, but I thought he was particularly poor that day, constantly caught out. And for his height, even today, the amount of times that he lost aerial, duels with Jay Rodriguez, it was pretty concerning when you think, he's like 9 foot tall.
Yeah.
It's really hard. I don't understand. And I mean, in the January window, he was heavily linked with Leicester. And I was quite shocked by that, in all honesty, because, he struggles to get on our side, let alone, the team doing that well. Maybe it was just, just rumours, transfer talk. But yeah, it's odd.
Yeah, no, it doesn't make sense to me. And I think, kind of like you, I don't want to single players out all the time, but maybe I wouldn't have been heartbroken had he left. But that's probably rude to say and everything else, but that is what it is. And to see him come in today and then not, I wasn't really that impressed with his play today. I thought kind of the same thing as you mentioned, losing headers to Jay Rodriguez is not something I would have wanted any of our center backs to do, especially the guy who's supposed to be, he's the biggest dude on the pitch. He should be kind of winning those things. And I saw some other people say, once, I think it was Wood that had to be hauled off early. Once he was off, Vestergaard should have come off because that was supposed to be his kind of job. But anyway, we don't even need to blame Vestergaard for the first goal, because we just made a mess of that right from the beginning of the game.
It was bizarre. My dad and I, we're in the Northern, it was really, really confusing. One of the more bizarre goals that I've seen in all the years that I've been going to watch games. Initially, I think many thought that it was going to get ruled out, because sort of Ben Mee wheeled away celebrating, and then sort of there was a silence and they sort of come to a stop. And yeah, that was odd, really odd. I mean, I haven't really seen a replay, if I'm honest with you. But I led to believe that the wind played a role. But yeah, no, it was, you know, we should have cleared our lines before it got anywhere near where it did. And it was just, yeah, really pathetic way to begin a game, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, I mean, Westwood takes that corner and that's it. It goes in.
That's right. In.
Ings looks like he's coming for it, decides not to. He just kind of moves back out of the way. McCarthy is behind the line, kind of behind the post, and the ball, I mean, when McCarthy palms it out, the ball is already crossed the line. It's already a goal. So me, even though I thought he scored because he wheeled away like he did, the goal was given to Westwood right away. But it's just, when you do watch the replay, just watch Danny Ings, because he puts his head on his hands immediately. He knows he's made a mistake and he just needs to head the ball out of bounds and do it again, you know, or head it away and just, you know, let everything just kind of clear out and start over. But, I don't know what he heard or what he thought he heard, but it was just a disaster. And that's not at all how you want to start a game, especially because now, you know, Burnley are not going to attack. They're just going to sit back and try to make you break them down. And that's probably not where Saints are best.
Yeah, no, exactly that. You know, it's hard enough playing a team against Burnley who, you know, not trying to, you know, dig into them. You play to your strengths at the end of the day. They've got a style of play. If it's effective for them, fair enough. But, you know, we try to sort of play it a bit more, I like to think. And if you know it's going to be a long day anyway, especially in those conditions that massively favour Burnley. You know, it's hard enough to begin with without gifting them a 1-0 advantage. So, yeah, like you said, they then had something to hold. And it was always going to be very, very difficult after that beginning, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess just kind of moving forward through the game, I thought that we responded well after that initial kind of setback, because that could have just been, given the weather. I mean, if you think back to the Leicester City game, similar weather, we go down early. We didn't have a red card this time, but like it just could have been an implosion, but the team didn't do that. They were the much better side. I thought, if I'm honest, like the first half after that goal up until maybe 15 minutes left in the first half, we were just completely dominant. We just couldn't score, but we were completely dominant. And then we kind of faded a little bit. And then the second half, I don't think we were that great, but, what was it like for me? Like, what was the mood in the stands after that early goal, given the weather and everything else?
Yeah, I think it was, as I said, because of the nature of the goal, it was pretty much disbelief. I don't think people could, you know, the majority of people, you know, just finished their pint at the pub and got in. So it wouldn't surprise me if you missed it, to be honest with you. But yeah, no, I didn't, although obviously they'd scored it. It was weird. It was, you know, because of all the commotion with the goal, it was almost as though we hadn't conceded. It was, yeah, really, really odd. But, you know, I was really optimistic after, like you say, I agree. I thought first half we were far superior. You know, it was just actually sort of converting our chances into more goals. But, yeah, no, we looked much the better team. I was really optimistic at the break that we'd go on and, you know, put them to the sword, really. So obviously it wasn't to be, but yeah, no, you know, first half in those conditions, I thought we had some bright moments. I thought Buffao actually looked pretty bright, for a player that normally really only seems to show up when he comes on as a sub. I thought, you know, he looked pretty up for it today. Looked one of our more dangerous players. And it was a shame really that he had to obviously, limp up injured in the end, because I kind of wanted to see, you know, what was going to come from him in the second half.
Yeah, well, he kept looking to get on the ball, and he is much more of a kind of a flair player than Armstrong is. And Armstrong has been getting in the team recently, but Buffao given the chance to start because of the Redmond injury. You know, he's trying to stake a claim. I think he's made some noise about wanting more time, and you know, maybe he's frustrated with the lack of starting time he's got, but he was really going after it today. And then, as you said, the injury. It doesn't help him at all. It doesn't really help us, because Gineppo is just different. I think when Buffao is on, the difference between him and Gineppo, the inexperience kind of shows through a little bit. Even though I think Gineppo is exciting to watch, maybe just not quite the composure that Buffao has at times. But he also didn't always have that. So maybe it'll come with Gineppo with time, I think. But, we finally do get back into it. And it's Ings, and I wouldn't really expect it to be anybody else. But I mean, what did you make? Was that coming towards you in the first half, or going away from you when he, you know, managed to strike that at the bottom corner?
So oddly, Burnley actually, they won the pre-game toss. So it was actually, which is quite rare. It was at the other end up at the Chapel. Because, you know, when we win the toss, we were always electing to attack the Northern in the first half. But, at the opposite end, what can you say? Just absolutely brilliant, brilliant strike. Nick Pope, the size of the goalkeeper, dives inches away, but he got it right in that corner. You know, the precision on his effort was just sublime. And, you know, no keeper in the world would have saved that because it was just postage stamp, just a... absolutely brilliant, brilliant effort from Danny Ings.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that goal puts him on 18 goals total for the year, including goals and not in the Premier League, and 15 for the Premier League season. A lot's been made of that even just after the match. The fact that we haven't had a Premier League goal scorer score that many goals since James Beattie. He is now past Jay Rodriguez, actually, for... you know, the most goals scored in a season by one player at Saints since we came back up to the Premier League. It's one of those things that I think the Carl Anker influence, that I just have too many spreadsheets, but I knew that was coming. And so I was kind of ready with, looking for it and waiting for it. And I'm glad he got it. Unfortunately, it's a goal that doesn't give us a win, but, only the second of his goals that has come from outside the area in the Premier League, which, I guess you would expect that from him. Lots of goals inside the 6-yard box, a couple inside the 18-yard box, and then only two from outside the area. But I thought that strike was beautiful. I thought it was hit hard, hit low. It was never going to be saved, I don't think. I think Pope did everything he could, but that ball was just struck too well.
Yeah, no, exactly that. As you said there, like obviously he's a natural finisher, just a predator. As you know, the majority of his goals are close to the goal. Obviously with that strike, goes to show that he's capable of any type of goal, just his all-around play. He's just a fantastic footballer. We're so fortunate to have him because his technical ability is right up there with the best I've seen. The amount of chances and that he creates himself just by, chasing players, goalkeepers down, his work rate, tenacity, you could rave about him endlessly. He's just a complete footballer, just brilliant. It's so good to see that, been able to see what he's capable of now that he's thankfully remaining injury free.
Yeah, I think that's going to be key. And I think now that we made it through the kind of toughest run of fixtures in terms of the time between in order to recover, I think he's made it through that point. So as long as he keeps doing what he's doing, he should be, I hope fine come the rest of the season. But we'll kind of have to see how that all goes, of course. But I don't know. I thought we played well once we were behind, and I thought that the only times we really looked nervous or anything like that is just when we kind of overplayed it, trying to play out of the back. And Gay actually did give Burnley the chance, and had they been as good at pressing or pressing as hard as we press, I think maybe we would have been in trouble, but they weren't doing that, and so we were mostly able to get out of it. But I'm trying to think, like, was there anything else in the first half that really stood out to you that needed to be discussed, or was it, besides the two goals and then us kind of, coming back into it after the freak goal we gave away, was that kind of it?
I think that on the whole, yeah, pretty much it. The only one thing, I know it kind of sounds a bit sour grapes, but I thought not just the first half, throughout, and I've thought it before, I think that's the second time we've had him officiate a game. Simon Hooper is I don't rate him. I'll put it that way. That's nicely, putting it nicely. Particularly second half with the, and it's jumping ahead a little bit, but, the time wasting, he really should have stamped his foot down, put some authority on it to try and stamp that out. Didn't. Quite a few times there were fouls from Burnley. There was one from Jack Cork that looked pretty...
James Ward-Prowse.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, that, I mean, how on earth he's got away with that, it's not even a booking. I'll never know, but yeah, I think that was only the second game that he's taken charge of, second Saints game anyway. I just don't think he's very consistent, to be honest with you. I think it's putting it nicely.
Yeah, well, I almost think that more of these guys are getting chance because... See, you like your dog.
I was going to start singing Who Let the Dogs Out, but...
He's not my favorite, but that's okay. I think, you know, some of these guys are going to be getting chances because we have guys now in the VAR room that are sitting there and they have this in their ear. And I think sometimes when you have we'll get to this more when we get to the handball incident. Like if the VAR official says no goal, then that official on the field, if you're new and you're not, you know, a consistent Premier League referee, you're probably not overruling him. And I think that's always going to be an issue, but anyway, we'll get to it, but, just jumping back to the very end of the first half. We absolutely dominated possession, 61% possession for us. But only one more shot than Burnley. And so like that is the frustrating part. And I don't think we had all that many more shots on target, even during that time. It was just one of those things. I think actually Burnley had more shots on target than we did during the first half. So, but yes. And I guess as you move towards the second half, as you said, that challenge from Cork on James Ward-Prowse, I was just a little bit worried that it was going to be, you know, I don't want to see Ward-Prowse. I don't want to see that cut get opened up again. And I'm really surprised he's actually back. Didn't miss a single game. And that's something that I was, you just hope that it stays closed and he stays healthy, but, it's nice to see him back on the pitch. But, I would have, you know, that's a former teammate, or, you know, maybe he was a youth player when he was there, but you hope, you know, it would just seem like a terrible tackle to put in on somebody that you probably at least have a, you know, somewhat, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. It was, quite surprising actually. I was always a very big fan of Jack Court when he was with Saints. He had two spells at Saints and yeah, and it was really, really good. Really sad to see him go, but yeah, no, that was never really something that I, attributed to Jack Court. I didn't really think he was that kind of player, but you know, maybe it was just a sort of rush of blood to the head kind of situation. But yeah, I mean, regardless of if he's an ex-Saints player or not, it's a booking all day.
Yeah,
all day long.
Yeah. I'd say that Burnley came out in the second half and started a little bit better than they were in the first. And then that goal from Vidra just kind of came out of nowhere. And for a guy who hasn't scored in the Premier League in over 18 months, it sure looked like he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, I mean, got to give it to him. Unfortunately, it's a fantastic piece of skill, great finish. Anything I will say is obviously the fact that I thought the defending was atrocious in that instance. You know, to allow him to, you know, sort of back in and spin off and get a shot away. You know, if you're going to do that at the Premier League level, then you will be punished. And I mean, I was saying to Dad as well, it's absolutely sod's law. You know, when Chris Wood went off, I thought sort of, you know, sigh relief. The fact that he'd gone, because, you know, he can cause you a lot of problems aerially, physically. And then it just so happens that it's his replacement that comes on and scores their winner. So yeah, you can't win sometimes, but yeah, no, great goal. But yeah, again, we afforded him way too much space and yeah. Got punished.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you look at our defending and think we should have learned from mistakes like this already, and then we get beat by a guy who I probably won't score the rest of the season, you know. And it's just like welcome to Southampton. Here's your goal, you know. Make yourself feel good. Yeah, and then I don't know. Like after that, I'm kind of just wondering for you sitting in the stands. Did it look like we were going to come back into it? Because I kind of thought the best part of the game for us had already gone, and we didn't really look like we were going to be kind of moving forward. I don't know, but it didn't really seem like to me like we had it in us in that second half. It seemed like Burnley were maybe taking the better of the chances and just kind of being on top a little bit more than they were in the first half. And so, I mean, was there... You always hold out hope, but was there like a tangible, do you see something on the pitch during that time, or was it just kind of just Burnley's going to just grind this one out?
Yeah, no, I think more of the latter, I think is fair. I was concerned. I was obviously worried initially when they grabbed the lead. I thought, oh no, you know, it's Burnley. They're not bad defensively on their day. They've got, you know, Ben Mee, Tarkowski, big centre halves that can do a job. And I thought, you know, they're not going to relinquish the lead. They did, and I thought, well, they're not going to do it again. And now we look pretty clueless, to be honest with you. Lackadaisical, I think, One word I would use, not urgent enough. It seemed very sideways, weren't really penetrating. But when, you know, obviously, Gineppo came on, but I don't know whether he's been told this or not, but, you know, he's pacey. I know he's obviously raw, young, but he is pacey. He can sometimes come up with that bit of magic that you need to turn a game. But, you know, every time he got the ball, rather than taking his man on down the byline, he would just come inside and, you know, dump the ball off to one of the midfielders. Mm-hmm. That was pretty frustrating. See, later on, we brought on, you know, Obafemi, and I feel for Shea Adams because I do rate him. He's just obviously dying out for a goal, really. But,
yeah.
But you to bring him on with, 5 minutes, you know, it's not really giving him much of a prayer, to be honest with you. And yeah, it was kind of desperation, wasn't it? I think we ended with three strikers on the pitch, but yeah. not any of the subs really affecting the result. And yeah, it was only going to go one way at that point, really.
Yeah. Well, when Obafemi comes on, obviously there's a change of formation because he comes on for Kyle Walker-Peters. And I do want to just pause here and talk about him a little bit because obviously this is the first match he's actually eligible to play for, I think, given, you know, when he came and we had to play Tottenham in the FA Cup and you couldn't play against them. So, you know, what did you make? I mean, he's a decent player. He hasn't played a lot this season, but you would think coming from Spurs, the mentality and stuff should be, you know, kind of similar. And you hope he's out to prove that he can play a little bit so he can maybe earn a spot, whether it's back there or move somewhere else. But what did you make of his kind of first showing as a Saint? I saw some people not super happy with him, but I thought, you know, I didn't see him. I don't know. I didn't feel like he made any huge mistakes. I just thought he was okay. And given it's your first game in the Premier League in some time, given it's your first game at home and in those conditions against a Burnley side who are going to be super physical, I didn't really think he did all that badly.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. I think to, you know, sort of hang him out to dry so soon is very harsh. Steady performance, I think. Nothing particularly brilliant that he did. Got forward a couple of times, crossing wasn't great from memory, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's his first performance. Thought at times he might have looked a bit sort of out of place, but then again, you know, he's not been with us long. He's still probably learning the system. It's a big moment for him, like you said, just throwing back into playing again for a new club, new surroundings, not the greatest day weather-wise, of course. So, yeah, no, I think he'll come good. He's been at Tottenham, so he's obviously got something on him to be at a club of that stature. I think early days. I think when he gets more acclimatized with the system and his teammates, we'll see, you know, the best out of him.
Yeah, not a great day, as you mentioned, passing the ball for him, but he has time to kind of acclimate to the system and the team. And Jan Valeri still, I don't even think, was on the bench today. So that just means that it looks like it will be Kyle Walker-Peters going forward, which I think will be good. As long as we have some consistency, that's when we have been our best, is when it's a similar team, a similar tactic, a similar approach. And we've kind of found that groove. And when Obafemi comes on, we moved to a 3-4-2-1. And I thought that there was a chance there for him to maybe have earned a foul moving at one point. But I also thought he was maybe looking for it a little bit, but I had written down just, you know, it was another decision by the referee that I didn't really agree with. But then I think we get to the one where we really have to be upset a little bit, or maybe not. Maybe it's maybe I'm just being biased because I want the penalty given. But did that happen in front of you at this point, the handball from Ben Mee, and were you surprised it wasn't given?
On first view, I thought it was Stonewall, as did many. Judging by some of the choice language used. I really did think that, you know, especially when it went to VAR, I thought we were certain to be given a penalty. So I was quite shocked when it was obviously not awarded. That obviously looked like a good way back in, about the only way we were going to get back into it, I think. It wasn't given, so it wasn't to be, but frustrating.
Yeah, I was a little bit frustrated at that point, but also I think I was just frustrated at everything, and so that was only going to add to it. But I thought for sure when it went to VAR that we were going to be given that, and then it didn't happen. I was like, well, what do I do now? Because I thought that would happen. But I guess to be completely honest, if that's given against a defender,
it is harsh because he's not trying, you know, he's trying to get his hand out of the way. He's just, you know, it is what it is, but it goes against you. It's a little rough because you want, you want the calls to go your way, because I wanted us to get something from this game. But, you know, having gotten checked the XG, I don't really think we probably deserved it, to be completely honest. I think, what did I have? I have it written down here somewhere. Yeah, we had an XG of 0.48 to 0.90. So we really, maybe we didn't deserve to get anything from it. But I thought we would have played. I thought we were a little bit better than that, but the numbers say otherwise. So it is what it is. But after that, I don't know. I don't really know what else happened other than Obafemi looked like he elbowed somebody in the face. Bardsley looked like he was tough enough to get on with it, and he did. And then I just have written down here that J-Rod looks like he spent a lot of time backpacking through Spain, and now calls it Barcelona. Other than that, I don't know. I don't know. What else did you see the rest of the match that maybe stood out to you?
Not a lot more, in all honesty. Just a lot of frustration. It's a cliche, but it just seemed to be one of those days that we could still be there now and we still wouldn't go back in the game. to be honest with you, it was set up perfectly for Burnley to come and get for them a great smash and grab win, really. Mm-hmm. We weren't up for the races, and yeah, it's just how they like it, really, for playing their brand of football and playing to their strengths and coming doing a job on us. And yeah, they are quickly becoming a bogey team.
I would say the only real other chance we had, Pope came up with a nice save. I think he just put his chest in the way, stood up tall, made the save, and that was it. But once again, I'm not really sure we really did deserve it. I think the one thing I have typed here in my notes is towards the end of the match, it just seemed like we just needed to put the ball in the box and we weren't doing it. The ball was going back to the goalkeeper with, you know, less than a minute left in the match. And we were not just, I think we it was just frustrating that we weren't putting the ball in the box, because it kind of feels like that's what you do at that point. You know, you don't really have time to try to pick teams apart. You got to find a way just to cause havoc and wreak havoc. And with the weather and everything else, that's what we would have been hoping for. And it just didn't happen. And that, I think for me, was also frustrating.
Yeah, no, exactly. There's one, as you've said that, it just sort of brought something back. There's one particular chance I remember from Armstrong where it sort of sat out for him on the edge of the area, and you're just thinking, you know, just keep it down, you know, fire it through. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily have to be on target, just fire it through, you know, sea of legs, it might take a deflection and go in, but you typically just went ahead and blazed it straight over the bar when you need anything but that. But yeah, you know, I mean, just fire a few balls into the box, you know, might come off of Adam's backside and be that just the lift he needs to get him going. Rather than just aimlessly sideways passing, it's not gonna get you anywhere.
Right. And I think this just shows again, like, we play so much better when teams are going to try to keep the ball on the deck and play through us, and it allows us to kind of disrupt that. And I think we thrive in those moments where other teams are in transition and we can then take advantage of them being out of position. And we weren't able to do that today. Burnley were compact and smart in how they kind of defended once they got the lead, and you just, you know, that they did their job, and we got to give them a little bit of credit, I guess. But, you know, 8 losses at home, I think, this season. I think that's the worst in the league. Burnley have done the double over us, which is not anything I want to say out loud ever again. And you look at our away form and you just think about how great we've been, picking up points on the road, and then you look at home, and still under the last, I think, 4 managers, it's been awful attending home matches for those of you who are there each and every week.
Yeah, very much so. It's strange. You go back sort of way, way back into the, you know, such times when we played at the Dell. It always used to be a fortress, you know, real tight to the pitch, intimidating atmosphere. It was always renowned for being a place that particularly, like, the, you know, the bigger clubs hated to come to because they knew what sort of day they were in for. St. Mary's is just, well, not currently anyway, it's not the same, and it, you know, we seem to perform better away from home. I guess the pressure's off somewhat. I guess away, playing away sort of suits our set up as well somewhat. It's getting to the point now where I don't know whether we can sort of go ground share somewhere else and elect to play, you know, constantly away from home, because I think then, you know, we'd be up in the pressing on to the Champions League places, especially with the City's embargo that's soon going to come into play.
Yeah, that seemed to be some news. And that was one of those things where I had students raising their hand asking, like, what happened to Manchester City? I was like, I would gladly teach you about this. This is great. We're going to turn this into economics and how not to lie and cheat.
Yeah, way more important.
Yeah. And then, you know, then the kids also pointed out that I'm an Astros fan and the Astros lied and cheated their way to a championship as well. So, you know, well, I'm not going to defend them because what they did is wrong. But anyway,
but
it is what it is. But, yeah, I think that does it for the match. I think kind of the less said about it, the better. And I just think it obviously moving forward, more claret and blue next week with Aston Villa coming to town. So we'll have to deal with them, but you know, you hope that we can just put this behind us and move through it. And hopefully we keep the Jack Grealish worldies to a minimum and we can get a win out of next week.
Yeah. You would hope so. I mean, they're, you know, fighting for their lives. They've got a chance, of course they have, but yeah, no, I'm hoping so. It's weird that you just said it as well. It's weird how it's failed that we're playing the three claret and blue clubs in a row, because we've got West Ham after that as well.
Uh-huh.
We performed really well up at Villa in December. That was one of our most impressive displays, actually. It was, I was talking to the reporter from The Guardian earlier, and he was at that game also, and he expressed how impressed he was with us that day. So hopefully we can replicate that performance and you know, get a double done this season, because that'd be nice too.
Yeah, that would be nice. So before we go, I do have one question. It came from one of the patrons of the show, and it goes back to you and your dad. So it says it's from Christian Candler, who's one of the patrons of the show, and he gets him and the rest of the patrons get priority for having their questions answered each and every week. They also get access to a private chat, and the $5 a month patrons get an extra podcast episode per month. Christian says, it's probably always a great time commenting to your father when we are winning. But was there ever a moment when you really struggled to find the words during our poor run of form? So I don't know if he's referring to earlier this season or seasons past, but I guess what's the most difficult moment you've had to kind of explain to your dad what's happened? I guess go with this season, or if there's something that stands out from before that, you can talk about that as well.
That's a great question. Thinking back, obviously as a Saints fan, there's been many. I'm thinking back to many years ago. It was our first season back in the Premier League. We travelled up to Arsenal, and we got thoroughly thumped 6-1. I think it was 4-1 at half time. Danny Fox scored from memory right in half time. It was a little consolation for us. But yeah, that was pretty difficult. There's been many, many, many occasions. It's hard to think of them all, in all honesty, but which is quite sad. But anyway, we still support them. That's what counts. There's been times where, see, when we go to the away grounds, that'll be given a radio. But the only thing is that the commentary is very much biased towards the home team. And there's been times where we've been, you know, completely thumped and, you know, he just turned it off and thought, that's it, I'd rather hear nothing. He can kind of pick up on what's happening by the reaction of the home crowd anyway. And then obviously those times where it doesn't quite go to plan, pretty much a silent, awkward drive home from St. Mary's as well. So, it's surprising and probably quite silly, really. But yeah, the impact it has upon people's lives, definitely us anyway, it's pretty staggering.
Well, like, I mean, when I was younger, my dad used to have to kind of, like, I'd watch the game and my dad would have to kind of explain what's happening, you know, and then sometimes he would be so upset by what had happened on the pitch. Like, I didn't want to talk to him in the car. Like, I didn't want him to say anything. I didn't want to ask a question. And our drive home was often like 3 hours. So it was like, well, I won't ask to go to the bathroom the whole way home. I'll just sit here because I don't want him to be upset with me. So I can imagine at some point, like if you get frustrated with what's happening on the pitch, like it's hard not to just go like to kind of just yell it to your dad. And that's, you know, does that happen to you ever? Or are you able to kind of hold it off?
No, it definitely happens. definitely. Emotion gets the better of you. Sometimes you just completely forget yourself. The emotion, obviously, with my dad, I can see it written all over his face when we've lost. Yeah. Face of thunder. Don't say anything out of line. In fear of getting your head chewed off. So yeah, obviously, thankfully, obviously not today, but it has swung a bit to the positive side of life recently, which is good.
Yeah.
But yeah, the start of the season was very tough. Yeah, not a lot of joy. We have this thing as well where every time Saints win, we on the drive home, we will stop off at a supermarket and pick up what we call celebration beers. And yeah, at the start of the season, we pretty much become teetotal. So thankfully, now we've started to enjoy a couple of beers again because Saints are actually, turning up every now and then and getting some results.
Yeah, but yeah.
That's another little habit of ours.
That's good. That's what you need to do. That sounds good, but it's not quite time for me to do that yet. So I still got to pretend to be a dad at some point today. So, a little bit of responsibility still left for today, but that's okay. But anyway, Dan, do you have anything else you want to add? Or, once again, the links to donate are in the show notes to the Just Giving page, and you'll be auctioning awesome stuff as well. And I'll try to remember to spread that around. And yeah, I just want to say thanks for coming on the show. But if there's anything else you'd like to share, you feel free to do it. If not, people can find you on Twitter. Let's see, can I remember? No, I can't, but I have it written down because that's what I do. You're at Dan Jarvis, SFC91 on Twitter, and at Rather Be a Scummer Than a Skate91 on Twitter, or sorry, on Instagram. And then your dad is on Twitter at Steve Jarvis, SFC7. So if you can go there and follow along, and links, like I said, are in the show notes. Thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem at all. No, that's great. And thanks for having me. Always a pleasure. And yeah, always happy to come on.
Yeah, hopefully next time we have I don't think you've been on after a win yet, so we'll have to.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I'm gonna obviously start getting the invites soon.
No. Well, see, there's a lot of people who haven't never been on after a win. But those are the ones that always seem to be, if you sign up for a tough game, then at least we know. But I think when we signed up for Burnley today, I thought, we can really do this. We're playing a lot better, but it just didn't happen. So
nope.
Next time. Well, it just means next time will be the first, hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. That's third time lucky. That's the only way you can look at it.
Absolutely. Well, Dan, thanks a lot, man. And we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, we'll do. Thank you.
That does it for this week's episode of the Southampton Delivery Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope that you've enjoyed it. Special thanks this week goes out to Dan Jarvis. You can find him on Twitter at Dan Jarvis SFC91 and on Instagram at Rather Be a Scummer Than a Skate91. His dad Steve is on Twitter at Steve Jarvis SFC7. Links to those are in the show notes, as well as the links to the charities they are raising money for, Blind Veterans and the Blue Cross Animal Shelter of Southampton. You can find links to those and to the Just Giving page in the show notes below. In addition to that, Dan spoke about auctioning off some jerseys and some kits that he's getting from the teams all around England. You can find those by visiting his Twitter. They are also on eBay, so keep up to date with that if you are interested in taking home any of those shirts. All of the proceeds for those go to those two charities as well. So big thanks to Dan for everything that he's doing, and special thanks to him and Steve for sharing time with me in the past, and of course to Dan for this week as well. Now, I know we didn't win this week, but that's okay. That's just kind of how it goes. If you'd like to get in touch with the show and let us know how you feel, you can do that. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at SFCDELL_IVERY on both Twitter and Instagram. And we're on Facebook at facebook.com/SFCDelivery. There is no underscore in the Facebook address. If you want to send the show an email, it's southamptondelivery@gmail.com. And you can find links to all of those on the show website, southamptondelivery.com. When you visit, you can sign up for the newsletter that comes out each and every Friday. You can click the links to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, and that makes it just about as easy as possible for you to get in touch, to make sure you listen, and all of that stuff. So I appreciate everything that everybody has done, including leaving reviews, which really do help spread the show to new people. I'd like to thank our partners, the Southampton page on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find them at the Southampton page on Twitter and on Instagram at SouthamptonPage1. There are links to those, of course, in the show notes. Matt Beeling of the We Are Southampton page on Instagram does the logo for the show, and all music for the show comes courtesy of the Free Music Archive at freemusicarchive.org. The intro song is Epic Song by Boxcat Games, and the end of show credits that you're listening to now is Aim Is True by Poddington Bear. Patrons of the show have priority for having their questions answered each and every week, and the $5 a month patrons will be getting an extra podcast episode midweek ahead of hosting Villa this weekend. So, thank you all for listening. I look forward to talking to you again next week. And until next time, remember that together, we march on.
Were you convinced that it was a handball, or do you understand why it wasn't given, or am I being kind of too partial to Saints because I want that given? Oh no, I lost you.
I lost him.
Poppy, that is a fantastic hat. Why are you shushing me?